You may honestly feel great that homeopathy survived the attempts of the allopaths to destroy it. Mark Twain.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Samantha Lee Wright, the creator and your host here on the Essential Oil Revolution. Each week here on the show, we take the topic of essential oils and apply it to everyday living. How can essential oils help us embrace a healthier lifestyle? How can they support us on our many diverse health journeys? We interview the best experts around the world who come on and share their knowledge and wisdom with us here on the show and share about how essential oils can help us in so many different ways. Today's episode, we are focusing on the topic of homeopathy and essential oils with Joette Calabrese, who is just a spitfire. I loved talking to her and I learned so much about homeopathy, which I thought I understood before, but really had no idea. Before our interview today, I always like to start the show out with one of my favorite oils from the past week. And so this week, I wanted to share with you all an experiment that I've been running with some really interesting results. So this experiment came about when I was pregnant with my son. We didn't know he was a boy at the time, but I noticed that while I was pregnant, my allergies almost completely went away. I've dealt with allergies my entire life. I've been known as Snotlocker at school. I sneeze my head off constantly. If you met me in my 20s, you never would have seen me without a gigantic handkerchief in hand because I was just constantly having to blow my nose and I was just all around miserable. It's actually what got me into essential oils, was trying to find a natural solution to help me with my allergies, and essential oils were the only natural solution I ever found that could even make a dent. So that's what got me into that journey. And so back to when I was pregnant with my son, someone told me, oh, I bet you're having a boy, because when you are growing a boy, your testosterone levels are slightly elevated and people notice all sorts of different health things happening, like maybe less allergies. So it was interesting. I never really followed through with much research about this. And every time I talk to my ear, nose, and throat doctor or whoever about, hey, is there any link between hormones like testosterone or low testosterone or high estrogen or whatever to allergies, I've always been met with just total blank faces. So I've always kind of been on my own here and decided, you know what, why don't I just do a little experiment with my oils and see what happens, since the pollen in this area this time of year is just atrocious. It's, if you've ever seen pictures of pollen season over the state of North Carolina this time of year, it's just like a yellow blanket that comes. And so like the past couple weeks, I've been struggling, but this week I made a little concoction of oils. I mixed up some blue spruce, some black spruce, some cedarwood, and nutmeg, and clary sage. All of these oils are kind of known for either adrenal support or hormone balancing. And a few of them, I kind of was doing some research, have been perhaps linked with increasing testosterone. So I figured I'd give it a try. I've been applying it over my thyroid area as well as on my wrist. And I have noticed some really crazy things, like my allergies being way more in control. Also been feeling a little bit more, I don't know if angry is the right word for it, but definitely a little bit more on that, what I imagine someone who's really like beefed up on testosterone would feel like, just like a little bit more on edge and more energetic. And also been having way more pimple breakouts on my face as well, which I know can be linked to testosterone. So some interesting results, still experimenting with it, but I figured I would share. So those are my favorite oils from this week. And now let me pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. I love reading these recipes from you, our listeners. I love when you guys send in your recipes because it's just so much fun to see how people are using their oils. Not to mention, we always pull prizes out of the pool of people who submit recipes to the dugout. And if you heard last week, you know that all through this month till the end of June, we're doing a special giveaway just for this month. So if you submit your DIY recipe this month, you have a chance to win a Bluetooth speaker diffuser, a diffuser necklace, and a jade stone face roller. So really cool prize this month. Just get your recipe in before July 1st by emailing us at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. Now, the recipe this week comes from Melissa Wright. She's on Instagram at @m_oil_issa_wright. And the recipe is for a DIY fruit and veggie spray. I think this is so cool. It's so important that we wash our fruits and veggies off before we eat them to lessen the amount of toxins that we are ingesting on the daily, right? So for the DIY fruit and veggie spray, you'll need a 12-ounce glass or metal spray bottle, and then combine 6 ounces of distilled water, 6 ounces of white vinegar, and 15 drops lemon essential oil. Just spray on your produce, scrub, and rinse, and enjoy. Thank you so much for this awesome recipe, Melissa. Again, you can find her on Instagram at @m_oil_issa_wright, W-R-I-G-H-T.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's happy, MAMMOTH.com, and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
I'm here with Joette Calabrese, an international homeopathic consultant, author, educator, and speaker. She's helped tens of thousands of people throughout her practice and teaching career through homeopathy, sound nutrition, and of course, guts, spunk, and moxie. Welcome to the show, Joette. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. It's really great to get to know you.
Absolutely. So another interesting fact that I learned about you was that you successfully raised your children without ever going to a pediatrician. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I did. My children are now adults. One's in his 30s and the other two are in their late 20s. And yeah, I was very successful with it. And it wasn't because we were lucky, because to be honest, we lived on a small farm. I raised them with goats and chickens and bees. We raised bees. We had ducks. We had a fish pond, and we lived on the top of a ski hill. So my children skied consistently all winter long in Western New York. So they were prone to injuries, and they got their share of otitis media and conjunctivitis and strep throat, just like any other child. So we didn't just luck out. I just put the effort into learning how to do this. And, you know, and perhaps the reason that I came to that was because I had my children a little later in life, and I had spent my entire life from the time I was 6 weeks old up until not too long before my first child was born, well into my 30s, 36, with chronic illness, environmental illness, chronic fatigue, allergies. It was one form of that or another, asthma, constipation. And I'd spent my entire life, and my mother did too, trying to figure out how we were going to get me out of this. And I'd spent many, many years going to pediatricians and many years going to allergists and many years going to chiropractors. And I do like chiropractic very much, but I've been to, you know, clinical ecologists. Now they call themselves functional MDs. I had seen and done it all. And I come from a big, fat Italian family, lots of cousins, and I have a lot of cousins who are MDs. So they were very useful in terms of, in the beginning, when I was younger, sending me to their colleagues, seeing me themselves and sending me to their colleagues, et cetera. And the problem was every time I went to another conventional doctor, I got another drug. So I had more steroids and more antibiotics and more ointments that suppressed symptoms. And then in my 20s, I married a doctor. He was a neurosurgeon, and I was married for 7 years. So it's not as though I didn't like the medical profession. I was just became a little wary of their wares. Not all of them. Not all of them. I mean, not all of their wares. I believe that modern medicine has a definite place in our world. If you're in a car accident, for example, and you're in the car and your arm is across the street, you need a doctor,
right?
Essential oils, homeopathy, good nutrition are going to be practically useless. You know, if you've got a lump and you have no idea what it is, you've had someone check it, palpate it, and there's no other choice but to get an X-ray or a mammogram, etc. Of course we want it. We're not going to be foolish about this. So I like their diagnostic abilities when they are necessary. I think they're grossly overused when they're necessary. What I don't like about modern medicine are the amount of drugs that are used and used so cavalierly. Far too often, they're just, oh, You got a cold? Here, an antibiotic. Oh, you got an ear infection? Here you go, another antibiotic. Oh, urinary tract infection. And they usually stack up one after another. Because, in my estimation, and as a result of using the antibiotics in the first place.
Right. This reminds me of a kind of a funny comic, or sad, depending on your perspective, that I saw. And it was a guy in the medical office. He was sitting on the table and the doctor was standing there with his clipboard. And the patient was saying, no, I really don't want to take those drugs. And the doctor says, okay, then you need to exercise, eat fruits and vegetables, get lots of sunlight, take some supplements, and like pretty much make all these lifestyle changes. And the guy's just going, ooh, I don't think I can do that. You know, so yeah.
Never mind.
Give me the pills, you know? And so we're not, and what I'm hearing from you too, is that it's not a blame game and it's not a, this doesn't work or that doesn't work. It's just where we are at right now, I think. And everyone has their own path and their own journey. And some people like you come through that and go, you know what? I'm going to put the time, the energy, and the effort into doing this a different way and doing it with your children. I think that what a gift you have given them, and that, and such bravery too. That's a really brave choice to make, I think, and to really give all of your time and energy, or not all of it, but a lot of your time and energy into doing that is just well done. Well done.
Well, thank you. I really, to be honest, I just needed a common sense approach. I believe that if you don't knock conventional thought, that you don't grow. We have to question them. And I don't mean the sacred columns of society, you know, like the sanctity of marriage or the importance of family and faith. I hold to those pretty fully. I'm an old conservative Roman Catholic, you know, and that is who I am. And so I am not going to question those aspects of my life that I have found firm and comfortable. But I'm talking about the conventions that are kind of flimsy, such as those that are systematically marketed to us. And that's where I thought there was a lot of tyranny in groupthink. And that's what I was seeing after taking drugs through the years, including, especially, I might add, birth control pills, which I think has been a terrible disservice to women and families. And I see women reeling from these years and years of birth control pills for acne, really? For acne or for dysmenorrhea or menorrhagia. It's just not, it's hitting a mosquito with a bazooka. It's just too extreme.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because I really attribute birth control as my sort of natural health and self-empowerment awakening, because as I was, you know, becoming an older woman, becoming sexually active, I started looking at, okay, what are my options? Obviously, I'm not ready to have a baby right now, and sex is pretty nice, so I'm going to do that. So, you know, what are my options here? And I hated all of them, you know, all of the conventional ones. I was just reading all of these negative side effects and these potential long-term effects that it could have on my body. And I mean, they frankly just sucked, you know, in my eyes. And so it's what got me learning more about my body, about, you know, how to track your fertility, how to really
natural family planning.
Exactly. Natural
family planning. It's very intelligent.
It is.
Very intelligent. And it's not given any credit because there's no industry behind it.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, it's not foolproof because user error can be involved, you know, like that's...
Well, not unlike birth control pills.
Exactly. You forget to take your pill, or you forget to chart, or you forget where you're at in your cycle, you know? Yeah, but it works. I mean, I did it for 5 years. It was great. And that's actually what led me into wanting to become a midwife and then becoming a doula and a childbirth educator, because it was all of this amazing information about, you know, my body that no one ever told me. And I thought it was so fascinating and I wanted to share it with others.
Well, we have to be wary of what we're told. It's what we discover that makes the most important shifts in our lives. If we're told something, it usually means, unless it's from our mothers or our grandmothers, you know, someone who we hold in high regard. But generally speaking, if we're told to do something, we should be very wary of it, because there's often an industry behind it. And there's nothing wrong with industry. Don't get me wrong. I believe very strongly in a free trade market. But you have to be smart to live in this kind of society. You have to be savvy and very aware of what's behind the product push.
And able to think for yourself. Absolutely.
You bet.
So, Joette, what kinds of things did you use when raising your kids and on your own health journey? Essential oils, homeopathy, what kind of tools?
Well, I, like everyone else, started out with vitamins. And I thought that that was, I mean, because that's what happens when you go to a health food store. The first thing you learn about are vitamins. And then I eschewed those. I found them to be too synthetic. I was very uncomfortable with taking them. They didn't make any difference. There were supposedly studies. I never saw studies that were as convincing as I have seen with, you know, subsequently with homeopathy. But I did not find them to be very valuable. And then I went to supplements. And I'll be honest, I was kind of disappointed with them as well. Then I went to herbs. Love herbs. Love them. Now, you have to be pretty knowledgeable about them. You don't have to know them all, but you should know a handful of them and know how to use them and when not to, and whether they should be used in tincture, salves, or balms, etc. So I loved herbs. And as I said, we lived on 15 acres, and I would wildcraft herbs from around my property. And there was plenty of wildcrafting supply. So I would make my herbs, make my tinctures, collect them in the spring, the summer, and the fall, and label them. And it was fun. I taught my children. They learned about herbs. They learned about plants on the wayside. And it was great. And then I learned homeopathy. And of course, essential oils. I actually started with essential oils before I really found homeopathy. I started using essential oils probably, 35 years ago. They were not as easily found. There was no internet for me to find information on them. So I used them. I used lavender. I used rosemary. I used oregano oil, et cetera. And I did use them for when my children had a cough or, you know, when they had a cold or something. And I would put mostly what I used it for was vaporizing. So I had an old fashioned, I'm sure you're not old enough to remember these, but I am, those old time vaporizers that were of kind of an emerald green glass. And my mother, when we were little, used to put Vicks in it, which meant, I think it was eucalyptus and camphor in it. And she would put that on with water and you'd smell up the room with camphor and eucalyptus. And it was essential oils of sorts. But then I started to use it when my children were younger, and I would keep the humidity up with the essential oils in the room. So I would often start with that. And in doing so, I would find that it would make the room more comfortable, more pleasant. There was a time when one of my sons had bronchitis, and I was quite concerned. So what I ended up using was Bryonia, and that's a homeopathic medicine, Bryonia 200. Now, the number after the remedy is important. So I used Bryonia 200C. Actually, at that time, it was Bryonia 200C, and the bronchitis, he stopped coughing and fell asleep within a few minutes of giving it to him. And that's when I said, oh my. There were other times too. I've had a couple of incidences even earlier than that in which my son had a very high fever. This is when I only had one child, and he had a very, very high fever, 105.5, mind you. And I was very worried, but I had my homeopathy kit. I probably foolishly counted on it without getting any other help, but I gave him at that time sulfur 30, was 30X at the time. And he came around within about 45 minutes. I've actually written about that story many times. That's on the internet, and it's on my blog, and I've written it in Wise Traditions and other bloggers settings. So I've written a lot about fevers. I also have an article that may or may not be interesting to your listeners, but the title of the article is Get Your Kids High. Because a big part of the way that I think and the way homeopathy views this is that fever, there's nothing wrong with fever when it's accompanying a normal childhood illness. Fever is dangerous if there's a head injury and fever comes subsequently after. Fever is not the disease. Fever is a reaction to the disease. But in that case, because the fever was 105.5, but by the way, I might say parenthetically that 105.5 fever, it wasn't going to go any higher than that. It just doesn't go higher than that for children with normal childhood illnesses. It won't go to 107. It won't go to 108. And so I used sulfur, and really within about 40 minutes, he was back to normal after having this fever for a few days. So when I saw that kind of result in using these medicines, and by the way, I have to tell you, these are medicines. The FDA calls them medicines. They are regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. They're not supplements. They're not vitamins. They're not really as holistic as people think they are. They really are medicines, and they're regulated as such. So when we use these medicines, we don't see side effects. That's the difference. That's one of the main differences between homeopathy in conventional medicine. It simply stimulates the body's natural ability to correct the condition, whatever the condition might be.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
So how are homeopathic medicines made?
Well, we get, this is all done in a homeopathic pharmacy, again, regulated by the FDA and many other bodies, legal bodies in the U.S. and throughout the world. They get a substance that can cause a condition. Let's say they get poison ivy. They pick poison ivy and it's done in a very special way. It's done pharmacologically and mathematically perfectly. And it is highly regulated, as I said, and they get this poison ivy leaves and put it in alcohol and make a tincture from it. And so it sets for in this alcohol for X number of days. And usually when I was making my tinctures, and I didn't make them out of poison ivy because I was not making homeopathic medicine, I was making botanical tinctures. I usually let them set for a fortnight, which is 2 weeks, and then it was a medicine. So in this case, let's say they get the poison ivy and they put it in alcohol for a certain amount of time. And at the end of that time, now we have tincture of poison ivy. And the real name is not called poison ivy. That's a common name. It's called Rhus toxicodendron. We always use the Latin words. We don't use cute names like Lunesta. Or Concerta. It sounds like an Italian opera or a French restaurant in D.C. or something, for goodness sakes. We use the actual Latin name because we're following botanicals. We're using the exact name. So they get this poison ivy that is now in tincture form, and they dilute it and dilute it and dilute it and dilute it, and they succuss it and dilute it. And succussion means that it's shaken a certain way as well. And so what it does is it releases, as it's diluted, less and less of the toxic aspect of the plant remains in the alcohol, and more of the curative aspect comes to the fore. So at a certain point, it reverses. Instead of it remaining toxic, it now becomes medicinal. So it's all about the dilution process. And as I said, it's mathematically done, pharmacologically done, and it's been done this way since the late 1700s when this started in Germany. So now we've got a medicine called Rhus toxicodendron. And if it's diluted 30 times to the 100th power, it would read Rhus toxicodendron 30C. C stands for 100 in algebra. Now, what would we use this for? Well, homeopathy, the name, the word homeopathy tells us what homeopathy is. It does not mean home remedies. It does not mean holistic. Home in homeopathy means homonym or similar or alike. And pathy, of course, means pathology or illness. So it means similar illness. So what's a similar illness to what poison ivy would look like if you were to touch it? Chickenpox, right? Chickenpox looks a lot like poison ivy, but it's not poison ivy. It's not exact pathology. It's not exactopathology. It's homeopathology, so that we would use Rhus toxicodendron 30C for someone who has chickenpox, because what's similar? Pustules, itching, restlessness, rashes. So what it does is it stimulates, by doing this, it stimulates the body's natural ability to uproot the condition. Some people call it an antidote. I don't call it that. I call it a correction. And so when we use this medicine, Rus Toxicodendron 30C for chickenpox, and we use it a few times per day, every day for a few days, usually within the first dose of giving this particular medicine for something such as chickenpox. It's not just chickenpox. It can also be used for rashes. It can be used for rashes that are of unknown origin. We don't need to know the etiology. All we need to know is how it's presenting. We're looking for similar symptoms. So when we do that, usually after the first dose, you can see the child who is restless from this itching and the pustules, and they're going out of their mind with itching. Not everyone is like that, but those who are, you can see their shoulders drop within a few minutes of being given this medicine. And then you give the next dose several hours later, and now the pustules are not nearly as itchy. And now you give another dose about another 6 hours later, and no new pustules are presenting, even though chickenpox can last for weeks. The worst of it for maybe a week, and it can last for, you know, it can actually carry on even longer than that in certain cases. But let's go with the common case. It will, within a day or two, get the person down to the point where they can go back to school. They still have the looks of chickenpox, but it looks as though they had them a week ago, not just yesterday.
Are there any areas that you feel like homeopathy really shines through or maybe falls short? Like if someone is dealing with autoimmune, let's say, or asthma or cancer or diabetes, I mean, there's so many illnesses, like take our pick. Have you seen homeopathy really work well for some things and not for others?
What I just described was an acute condition. An acute condition comes and then it ends. It's going to end on its own regardless of what you do. A chronic condition, such as diabetes or eczema or rheumatoid arthritis, et cetera, obviously is not going to go away on its own. They're ebbs and flows only. And that's, in my estimation, where homeopathy shines, is in using it for chronic conditions.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us more about that.
Well, we have worked at the Banerjee Homeopathic Research Foundation in Calcutta, India for 8 years. And that particular Homeopathic Research Foundation is world-renowned. There are 12 senior doctors. I'll just give you a little background because it's so fascinating.
Yeah.
There are 12 senior doctors, and then there are accompanying another 12 to 15 junior doctors. And each doctor, senior doctor with accompanying junior doctor, sees, hold your hat, 100 patients per day.
Wow.
Per day. Now, it was started by Dr. Prasanta Banerjee and his son, Prateep Banerjee, this foundation, but they have a legacy of it being really run of sorts, not exactly in the same foundation, but of sorts by the grandfather, the great uncle, so that they have cumulatively been using these homeopathic medicines, the method that I use, because I've been there so long now, I use their method of homeopathy for over 150 years. So now if you see there are 12 senior doctors, each seeing 100 patients per day, that's 1,200 patients per day. And they're open 6-7 days a week, that's 1,200, that is 7,200 people per week.
Wow.
For, hold it, 150 years.
Wow.
And they don't say when people line up on the streets, and literally they are lined up on the streets, they come in buses from villages. And they not only line up on the street that day, they're there the day before with their blankets and their food and a little umbrella, and their entire family is there, and they wait and they sit on the street waiting for their turn to get into this clinic. And they do not say, the research foundation does not say, oh, by the way, no immune deficiency diseases here. Oh, no rheumatoid arthritis. Oh, forget it if you have Hashimoto's. No, they take everything. They take absolutely everything. In my observation in being there for 8 times, now, over a period of a little over a year and a half in total, was that I observed over 6,000. I observed and recorded over 6,000 cases. It was close to 7,000 cases. And what I did is I wrote every single one of them down that I saw. We worked 10, 12, sometimes 14 hours in a day. And I would write down every case that I saw. And when I got home, I collated it, organized it, put it together. And that's what I teach for free on my blog, how to use this particular homeopathic medicine for this particular condition. It's what I teach in my courses when it's a more complicated condition. It's what I give away on my Facebook Live every Monday night. I teach, teach, teach. Because homeopathy was very big in this country, in the U.S., up until the 1940s, which is about the time when the FDA was developed. And as a matter of fact, it was a homeopathic physician who was one of the people who started the FDA to make sure that homeopathy was protected as one of the main medicines. But at that same time, out came the antibiotic craze and the psychotropic craze. And up until that time, conventional medicine really didn't have much more than aspirin and mercury and bloodletting. And surgery. So anesthesia, certainly. But they didn't have an awful lot. And so homeopathy was quite a stronghold in our country. In fact, I've written a short book on that subject. There were about 100 homeopathic hospitals at its demise in the 1940s. And there were just as many, approximately a few hospitals, fewer of conventional hospitals. But in the 1940s, there was a concerted effort to eliminate the competition. And that's exactly what happened. It destroyed homeopathy in this country and in North America, so Canada as well. But not so in South America, not Italy, France, Germany, Spain, Portugal, Switzerland, very big in Germany and Switzerland, very big in Spain, very big in India. And so it's still alive in those countries. And I want to bring this back to the U.S. And the way that we do this is for moms to have guts, spunk, and moxie, and learn how to treat their families' ills themselves.
Well, I can tell you're extremely passionate about that and that you're a brilliant educator. I mean, really just here on this interview, I've learned so much. So thank you for those resources that you create and your website, practicalhomeopathy.com. You say you give this information for free. That's just what a gift. And I'm excited to catch some of your Facebook Lives as well.
I've been trying to get this out now on my blog for close to 10 years. Every single week, I write and give away the answer. Your child has otitis media? Go to my site and write otitis media and you'll come right up and it'll tell you exactly what homeopathic medicine I have used and what potency, what frequency. If you click on the name of the remedy, it will take you directly to Amazon or Boron Pharmacy so you can purchase it yourself. And I also have to say I have no affiliate programs. So I do not get paid for every time someone buys a homeopathic medicine, and the blog is free. That's how important I believe this to be.
On our show, we start the episode out with a quote. And so I found a quote for this episode. You've probably heard it from Mark Twain. He said, "You may honestly feel great that homeopathy survived the attempts of the allopaths to destroy it." Now, he died in 1910, of course, so he didn't see the demise that came, like you said, in the 40s. But I didn't know if you'd heard that before and kind of...
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so interesting. I didn't realize that homeopathy had such a history.
Yeah, and Gandhi also said it's the most, and I'm going to paraphrase it, it's the most inexpensive and successful medicine known to mankind is homeopathy.
Now, speaking of, expensive, inexpensive, do you have any advice for people who are shopping for a homeopathy remedy as far as, reputable brands or things to be aware of?
Well, I like boron. And they're the ones in the little blue tubes that you find at Whole Foods and Walmart and Wegmans, depending on where you live. I like Hahnemann Pharmacy. I like Washington Homeopathy. I like some of the combination medicines. So if a child has restless legs or your husband has restless legs, you can go in and look under restless legs and they actually have a homeopathic medicine with a 3 or 4 homeopathic combinations mixed or medicines mixed together as a combination. And it's a super way to get started.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. I was wondering if you could leave us with just one more story of maybe how you helped your kids or yourself or someone else using homeopathy and or essential oils or other natural remedies.
Yeah, let me tell you what one of my favorite medicines of all time. And I actually learned this in Calcutta at the Prasanta Banerjee Homeopathic Research Foundation. And that is that, and I write about this frequently on my blog. So if you're not, don't get it right. I mean, try to write this down. I do believe this is a writer downer, but if you don't find it, just look up on my blog, Joette Calabrese, under coughs, and you'll find it again. One of my favorites is Aconitum, A-C-O-N-I-T-U-M, Aconitum 200C, mixed with or taken at the same time. You put the little pills in your mouth and then you put the second remedy into your mouth, Bryonia, B-R-Y-O-N-I-A 200C. You put them in your mouth at the same time at the onset of a cold or a cough, and it more often aborts that in no time. Now, I have a relative who's prone to pneumonia, and as long as she takes this before she's at the onset of a cough, she automatically takes it, and now she's not been prone for many, many years, because not only does it correct the condition at hand, but it uproots, the best part, it uproots the propensity for it to return. So the opposite of antibiotics, when you take an antibiotic for otitis media, you can count on it. You're going to get that otitis media again, because it not only it got rid of it, it slammed down the microorganisms. But then they come back with a vengeance because, you know, microorganisms are there to do two things, survive and reproduce. And so you can't kill them all. If you killed all the microorganisms in your body, you'd be dead too.
Right.
Whereas homeopathy doesn't kill. It corrects the condition by a gentle stimulus. So then we use that medicine a couple times a day, two or three. In fact, my son just called me about an hour ago and he said, Mom, do I need Aconitum 200 with Bryonia 200? Because I think I'm getting a chest cough. I said, you bet, honey, start taking it. And another story, actually several stories, because my family had chickens. We raised chickens and ducks, and we had dogs and cats, and we had a veritable farm. I loved using essential oils, especially lavender and oregano oil, when our chickens had diarrhea. And if a chicken gets diarrhea, they all get diarrhea. And so I would instantly put it in their feed lot, in their water, I should say, and they would dip their little beaks in there and drink it. And then by the end of the day, I'd clean that out and start it afresh again. And I would just put a few drops of each of those two into the lot. And I often saw that the diarrhea would abate and the rest of the flock would be just fine. Maybe the one that or two that were afflicted didn't get any sick, certainly didn't get any sicker, and the others never got sick. But that is a real concern with farming, especially with chickens, that they don't get diarrhea because then they often expire.
Right, right. You said oregano, and what was the other one?
Lavender.
Lavender, yeah. That's great. I always think it's amazing how quickly pets respond to the oils sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. They respond quickly. And what I love about that is it only goes to show that it's not placebo, is it?
Right, right. Yes,
we can hear that argument. You can't convince a chicken that this water is going to have something to make them feel better, and then they just feel better.
So true.
So, of course, I expanded on that. I used it for the chicken. So, of course, I'm not going to keep it from my family. I did the same kinds of things for my family. And I would put it in water. But years ago, when I was first learning about essential oils, I had learned to be very wary about drinking the oils. So I used very little. I mean, I'm talking about a drop of each in probably a quart, a drop of two essential oils in a quart of water, and then shaken up. And even then, I was cautious when my children were very young, but it did help many times with conditions such as food poisoning or diarrhea.
Well, Joette, this has been phenomenal. I've learned so much, and I just want to thank you wholeheartedly for coming on and sharing this message with our listeners.
My pleasure.
This is such an important message, and it really needs to be shared. This knowledge is ours. We need to take it back. We need to spread it. So share this episode, share it with people you know, share it with the people that you love, and let's take back our education. Let's take back the power of our own health. go connect with Joette at practicalhomeopathy.com or Google Joette Calabrese, that's C-A-L-A-B-R-E-S-E, to learn more about homeopathy. You can find that link and others in the show notes below and on our website, revolutionoilspodcast.com. While you're there hanging out on the website, don't forget to submit your DIY dugout recipe before July 1st if you want to be entered to win our amazing giveaway. We're giving away a ultrasonic Bluetooth diffuser, a diffuser necklace, as well as a jade crystal face roller. So lots of fun things that you can win. And all you have to do is provide us with your favorite original DIY recipe that uses essential oils on our website, or just email it directly at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. We'll be back next week with Brenton Dennington, the creator of an amazing mindset-focused essential oil program that is truly mind-blowing. I'm super excited for y'all to listen. Catch that here next week. Hit the subscribe button if you want to get those new episodes downloaded to your phone while you sleep, wherever you get your podcast. iTunes, iHeart, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean. You can even listen through your Alexa app if you have an Amazon Music subscription. We are literally everywhere. Just hit subscribe wherever you listen, and we'll catch you here each week on the Essential Oil Revolution. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.